All right. We're going to go ahead and get started. I'll be before you today. We will be talking, I'll be reading in 1 John chapter 4, 7 through 21. The title of my sermon is God is Love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. We have seen and testified the Father has sent the only Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother whom he can see, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from God, from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. As I was reading that, you heard the word love a lot. So we will be talking about love. In the book of 1 John, the word love in various forms shows up 43 times and 32 times just in the chapter 4 alone. What does love mean? When looking up the definition of love, it gives us so many variations. I just chose the one that had the most similarities in all of them. These definitions come from the dictionary Oxford Languages. And then I also have a quote from betterhelp.com. The definitions from the dictionary is an intense feeling of deep affection, a great interest and pleasure in something. And then from betterhelp.com, it says, true love fosters a connection that goes beyond superficial. It is a bond that often involves understanding each other's core values, beliefs, and life goals. This connection creates a sense of companionship, which both partners feel they're on the same page, working towards a common dream. Now that's what the world says love is. Now let's see what the Bible says in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, the first part of 8. Love is patient, kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love is not just a feeling, according to the Bible. The world looks at love with more of a feeling base. The Bible is more of an action base. Let's keep this in mind as we proceed to discover about God being love. That takes me to my first point. My first point is God is love. He is the source of love. 1 John 4, 7 through 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever has been born of God knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Because God is love, he is the only true source of love. We love because he first loved us. The greatest gift of love was the sacrificial gift of his son, Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, we would not have atonement for our sins. And that is crucial, because without that atonement, without that cleansing of his blood shed, we would not be able to have eternal life with God, because God cannot have us come forward and be around him with sin. So Jesus's death on the cross was crucial, but God sent him to the cross for us. That is the ultimate love. Our love is a response to God's love. It's not the basis for his love, but it's the response. So what that means is that he loves us unconditionally. There is nothing that we can do to make him stop loving us. There's nothing we can do to make him love us more. He sent his son to the cross knowing that we were going to be sinful people, knowing that we were going to make mistakes, knowing all of the things that we have done, will do, and did do. He still sent his son to the cross to die for us. His love is unconditional. The way we love does not determine how much he loves us, but it should show how much we love him. The more we love him, the more we should love others. As I was studying 1 John and reading these verses over and over and over again, and 1 John is not that very long. 1 John only has five, 1 John has five chapters in it. And I've been studying it for about 3 to 4 weeks. And what has struck me is I realized that it is easy for me to really love my family, to really pour my love into my family. Where I find that I struggle the most is at work. And I don't know if anybody else has that struggle. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you do well at work with strangers and not well with your family. But I find that I struggle with that. When I became a parent to my first son, I wanted to be the best parent I could be. I wanted to be the best mom to my son. And as I started to parent, and as I started to love him, and as I started to dive into church more, I realized that the best way that I could be the best parent to him was the more that I loved Jesus. The more that I loved Jesus, the more that I loved my child, the more that I poured into Jesus, the more he poured or was evident in my life. I was able to do things because I had loved him, and it was spilling out over into other people. I was a better wife, a better daughter, a better sister, a better friend. The things that God required me made me a better person because I knew what he wanted from me. I loved him, so it made me want to read my Bible more. It made me want to pray more. And as I read more and as I prayed more, it showed me more and more what I should be doing, which made me a better person. It wasn't because I was this great person. It was because of who God was making me become. So his love was making me better. His love was making me do things that I should do because I wanted to show him how much I loved him. And I wanted to be a good person because he was so good to me. That takes me to my next point. Living the life of love. Living the life of love. Our love for God must show in everyday life. We first have to believe that Jesus is the Son of Christ. That's the first thing that we have to believe. If we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of Christ, then we don't believe what God has said. In verse 15, it says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." Now that you have God abiding in you, you have the source of love abiding in you. You have to love your brother and sister in Christ. That is a command from God. Verse 21 says this verse refers to the brothers and sisters in Christ. So that means the fellow believers. So the people in the church, God is commanding us in this verse 21 that we should love our brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow believers. So there should not be dissension in the church. There should not be people that you dislike. There should not be people that you hate that are in Christ. The church is supposed to be, the world should see the church as love and as people getting along because we have Christ in us. But there are other verses in the Bible that also refers to all people. John 13, 34 through 35, and also John 15, verses 12. I will not read them to you at this time, but you can look at them another time. But what these verses tell us is that we need to love all people. This particular verse that we're talking about in 21 is referring to the church. But I do want to challenge us to remember that there are other verses that are challenging us to love all people. Do we treat people with kindness, even when they don't treat us the same? How do we treat people? How do we treat the people in the church? I will say, and I said this earlier, that it's easier for me to love my family. But when I looked at this verse, I had to challenge myself about how I treated people in my job, in my career, outside, especially at my work because I work in a retail environment. So you deal with a lot of people. And sometimes people come in and they're not always pleasant. And I find myself not being pleasant because they're not pleasant. And so God has challenged me in this time of study. Do I treat people with kind words, sympathy, or even grace? Or do I expect them to treat me good? Then I will reciprocate. But that's not what God is calling me to do. That's not what God is calling you to do. God is calling us to love them, even when they don't always treat us good. Now, I have to say that this is probably the biggest challenge for me because I feel like I'm a good person. I feel like I'm nice and I'm doing things. So I want people to treat me good. But I realize that it's not about how I feel they're treating me. It's about how God wants me to do. It's what God's calling me to do. And at the end of the day, I stand before God. You stand before God. We stand before God. And we are held accountable to our actions. So I have to remember that how I treat other people is not about what they do to me, because God is holding me accountable for those things. We cannot love the way God commands us without Him. We have to have the source of love in our lives. God is the source of love. We have to have Him in our lives. And then when it gets hard, we have to rely on Him. We have to depend on Him. So as I was reading this, I was thinking about it. I had a week off at work, and it really allowed me to spend more time to dive into the word and just really focus in on my life and my walk with Christ. And I realized that I really need to dive into the word before I go to work so that I build myself up, so that I'm ready to go into the workplace with people who are not going to always be pleasant, with people who are not going to treat me the way that I would like to be treated. But I feel like when I'm built up in Christ, it will allow me to let things pour out of me that He wants to pour out of me, not self, but God. Christ will pour out, not Tia. Christ will pour out. Because if Tia's pouring out of people, it's not always going to be good. But if Christ, if God is pouring out of me, it's going to be better. So I want to challenge you. Build yourself up in God so that when you come into those difficult situations, you are not pouring out, but God is pouring out. Point three. Love can be perfected. Love can be perfected. Only can love be perfected when we are completely in God. We have to be completely all in. When we abide in God, He will abide in us. Let me say that again. When we abide in God, He will abide in us. That means when we are in Christ, when we are in Him, and being in Him isn't just us verbally saying it. It isn't just us saying, I'm in Christ, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower, I love Jesus. That's great. All of those things are great. But to abide means that we are really trying to dive in. That means we are reading His word, we are praying, we are worshiping. All of those things help us abide in Christ. When we abide in Him, He abides in us. He's in us, which allows us to do some of the harder things in life that we cannot do without Him. Because He is the source of our love, and we need that source. We need that source to be able to love unconditionally without reasons, without rules. Well, I'll love you if. Well, I loved you because you did this for me. That is not the love that God is asking us to have. He's asking us to love unconditionally. I want you to stop and think about before you were in Christ and some of the things that you were doing. And He still loved us. Some of the sinful things, some of the things you said, some of the things you chose to do, but He still loved us. He still sent His Son to the cross for us. When we abide in God, He will abide in us. If we have the Father, we will have the Son and the Holy Spirit, because God gives us to them in His perfect love. So when we have God, He gives us Jesus. He gives us the Holy Spirit. All of those things help us to love the way that God commands us to love. God completes the love in us. His perfect love is in us, which helps us to love. His love gives us confidence in the day of judgment because we know that we belong to Him. So, day of judgment is when we stand before God and He looks at our life. But when we have God, the sinful part of our life is gone. He sees good. But we have to have God in it. We have to have God. We have to have Jesus that covers that blood that cleanses us. So when we stand before God, he doesn't see the sin because Jesus cleanses us of that. But because we know that we have that cleansing, we should have confidence that we are in Christ and that we can be bold. Because we know who we are, it gives us a boldness to love without fear. Now, will I say that it's always easy to love without fear? I won't, because we're not perfect. Perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. But God has the perfect love. And the more we strive, the better we get at it. Perfect love drives out fear because fear involves punishment. We need not to be fearful because we have the perfect love of God. God loves, pours out of us. His love is perfect. We are not perfect, but He is. And He gives us grace when we need it. He gives us grace when we need it. So I don't say that we're going to be perfect. Our love isn't going to be perfect, but God's love in us is perfect. And if we keep that source, who is God, in our lives, if we abide in Him, we could love more perfectly, but we will not be perfect. That's why we need grace. But we should always be striving to be perfect because He is perfect. As I close, I want to just mention a couple of things to you. God is love and He loves us. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Spirit. His love is perfect. And His love casts out the fear. Be bold and love one another. Be bold and love one another. Go out into the world and show God's love because that is where people start to ask, why is that person different? Why is that person treated me so good when I haven't been that good to them? And then our response is because God wants me to love you. And then we can talk about our walk with God. But we first have to love. We have to be different. So remember, God is love. He loves us. He gave us His Son. He gave us His Spirit. And in His love, it's perfect and it casts out the fear. So we should be bold to love one another.